This sharp rise in single-use masks and gloves is making our world's plastic problem more acute. We're learning about it on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. So if we sewed together all of the masks that have already been made and all the ones projected to be produced, we'd be able to cover the entire landmass of Switzerland. That factoid, courtesy of Scientific American, by the way. Have you noticed used masks or gloves on the ground? Where have you seen the litter? Or maybe you've seen PPE, personal protective equipment, in our waterways. How often are you going through single-use masks and other PPE each week? We're at 800-642-1234. Megan Severson, a state director of Wisconsin Environment. It's a citizen-based environmental advocacy project of Environment America, along with 29 state affiliates. Megan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for having me.
So how is your organization recalibrating its work and its energy to fight COVID?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think we're really looking at where are there opportunities to meet Wisconsinites and people where they're at, right? Which is for many people in their homes or having to kind of navigate these challenges of family life in the pandemic. So, you know, we're really working to kind of provide education, materials, and opportunity for action for people to make a difference on the issues that, no matter the pandemic or, you know, other healthier times, issues that we care about, like waste, like climate change, like clean water.
You rely so much on citizen involvement, citizen engagement, and volunteerism. How has that changed amid the pandemic?
Yeah. Personally, I have found that, you know, even from our homes and operating virtually, people really care and they really want to be connected. It's hard, right, not to be able to meet in person to have events or to do, you know, other kind of educational activities. But I think from, you know, what I'm seeing, people are really showing up to whether it's help people register to vote, it's helping to gather petitions. It's, you know, we recently had the opportunity for people to weigh in on the governor's task force on climate change. Over 1,000, you know, participants in those virtual listening sessions.
Wow.
A lot of people commenting. So yeah, I just thinking about kind of personally and what friends, family, people I work with are, you know, wanting to make a difference. And so that doesn't change. It's just maybe the nature of how we do it and having to be more socially distanced, just being creative.
Are you still able to have litter pickups on the books? Is that still able to work out during these times?
So that's a good question. You know, I think that in kind of talking with local groups, it really is up to the discretion of kind of local community efforts and how they want to approach that. I think the most important thing that we need to do right now, of course, is to stay safe, to follow local, state, and CDC guidelines. So we are probably seeing fewer of those things, right? We don't have any events planned. And I think there's a lot of, people are not able to gather together to do those sorts of things.
We're talking with Megan Severson. She's part of the citizen-based environmental advocacy organization called Environment Wisconsin. We're talking about the environment and plastic pollution in our communities across the globe. Have you noticed used masks or gloves on the ground lately? Where have you seen the litter? Or maybe you've seen PPE in waterways. Join in at 800-642-1234. Megan, let's look at the plastics in particular and this problem. How would you describe our relationship with plastic?
Yeah, well, again, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this and to talk about it in the sort of big picture. I think we're all even more aware during the pandemic of just how reliant we have become on single-use plastics. So while prioritizing our safety is most important right now, I do think this is a good opportunity to talk about within our homes, our states, globally what we want our relationship to be with single-use plastics. And the truth is that they really are cheap and convenient. They're a big part of what's driven our consumer economy in recent decades. But I think more and more people are waking up now to the fact that plastics are having a really devastating impact on our lives, our wildlife, and our environment. I think personally, even I just have recognized just how an impact it is on my life in the last few years.
Oil prices have fallen so low, and you need that crude oil, you need that natural gas to make plastics. How is that affecting our availability to plastic and the plastics market?
So this is an interesting thing when we talk about supply chain obstruction, and in particular with PPE, right, or personal protective equipment. I think this is one of the big reasons why we do need to have a conversation about single-use plastics in the future. So, you know, because of, you know, not just to reduce plastics, but so that we can kind of guard against obstructions like we saw with, you know, fewer people being able to access the PPE that they've needed. A colleague's friend is a friend of mine is a nurse in New York who had to rewear her N95 mask for days because they ran out, right? This is worst case scenario. This should not be happening. We need to have the supplies, the medical equipment that the medical community needs to keep us safe, to keep themselves safe. But when you design a system on single use and disposability, you do open yourself up to supply chain obstructions, and you may not be able to get a replacement. So, well, again, the priority right now definitely is to make sure we're all protecting ourselves. This is an opportunity to kind of talk about in the near future, where can the medical community reduce single-use plastic and have more options for safe and reusable PPE.
Megan, what does plastic production look like here in Wisconsin? How robust of an economy is it?
That's a good question. You know, I think that we have so much of our economy revolves around the consumption of single-use plastics, the production. And I think that, you know, we are really finding that we have to take a look at where this is impacting our waterways and our public health. I do think that we think about plastics kind of impacting our oceans and sea turtles, but the production of these materials is leading to, you know, from source to the final product that arrives in a shipping in a disposable item, we have a lot of ways in which Wisconsin is kind of has its hand in that, from frac sand mining in the western part of the state that's used to kind of drill for oil that's then turned into plastics. There's a lot of steps along that chain, and so we need to really look at how can we kind of have a more circular economy where we're reusing more items.
Megan Severson is State Director of Wisconsin Environment. It's an organization working to promote clean air, water, and energy. Do you work at a healthcare facility? How often are you going through gloves and masks, other PPE? How are these products disposed of? Have you found effective ways to extend their life? Join in at 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Megan Severson here on the Ideas Network. The COVID-19 crisis is causing an uptick in single-use plastic. Think masks and gloves. We're talking about the consequences of plastic pollution here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to research published in the journal Environmental Science and Technology, COVID-19 has triggered an estimated worldwide use of 129 billion face masks and 65 billion gloves every month. Every month. Are you trying to reduce your plastic use? What are you substituting for these products? Are you part of an environmental group that cleans up litter? How has the pandemic affected your work? How often are you able to recycle? And what's holding your community back? Join in at any point, 800-642-1234. Megan Severson is State Director of Wisconsin Environment. She stays with us. Let's take a call now. Kristen is with us from Middleton. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm just calling in. I wanted to mention that I have an aunt and uncle who are retired teachers, and every day on their daily walk, they take a little grabbing tool and some garbage bags, and they pick up what they call COVID trash the whole way.
What are they seeing? Yeah. What are they collecting as they do this service to their community?
They're finding everything, gloves, masks, but also just normal litter, that it seems to be an uprise in all of that around their neighborhood. So they have been just doing a little bit every single day, and they've collected quite a bit.
Kristen, thank you so much for sharing that. Megan, you know, though it sounds like they're doing real double duty there. They're taking a walk, but they're also picking up litter along the way.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think that's wonderful. It's frustrating, right? That this is becoming a problem, that there is this litter, but of course, so many people in communities across the state really care about looking after our environment and in helping how they can. So yeah, as long as you're doing it safely, I think that's really wonderful. I've reflected quite a bit this year on the fact that it's been 50 years since we celebrated the first Earth Day in 1970. Mm. And unfortunately, since then, plastic production has actually increased more than tenfold, from roughly 35 million to 400 million tons annually. So plastics is a huge part of that. And I just hate to think how much worse things are going to get if we don't act, and how much, you know, the burden shifts to communities to try to deal with the litter, the excesses in the landfills, and the impacts from climate.
Let's bring in Rachel now in Lake Geneva. Good morning, Rachel.
Hi.
Hi. We can hear you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I'm living in a town north of Milwaukee, and it's pretty rural, and we do not have a garbage service pickup, so every week we have to take our garbage into a center, recycling and garbage all in one, although you have to separate it before you get there, so it's organized and the line can keep moving, but it's really made us think about the single-use plastics that we buy from the store, and we've actually found that we've cut down pretty significantly on our use, and just being aware of just how much we actually do use so that we can try and shift accordingly.
Oh, that's so interesting that transporting your own garbage makes you much more aware of what you're using.
Yeah. I mean, we have to wash the recyclables. We have to basically take care of all of the things that we're using. It's part of us.
Megan, in this rural area, that is an extra step, but as Rachel is pointing out, it makes awareness so much more, you know, as to what you are actually using.
I think that's absolutely right. And it is, you know, it's funny to think about when we talk about throwing stuff away, right? When we have these services that are so essential, you know, so helpful for our communities to be able to take our garbage, our recyclables away, we don't have to think about them anymore. But the truth is they don't go away. They do go somewhere. And people handle these, whether it's in recycling facilities, it's trash facilities, landfills, right? So thinking about what waste we're consuming and where it's going to go is really important. And I think with more people, you know, being at home, we do have an increase in residential waste, but there is this kind of, I think, reckoning a lot of families are having with how much waste are we producing and where are there ways that we can kind of reduce that amount.
We're talking with Megan Severson, who works with a citizen-based environmental advocacy program in Wisconsin. And we're learning about the plastic pollution spike in the pandemic, what can be done in our local communities. Let's bring in Carolyn now, who's joining us from Madison. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Let's see. The store I went to, or I go to, had wipes when you first came in the door that you apparently were supposed to use and then just dispose of. Well, I would keep one in my hand and while I was shopping, just to hold the basket handle or the cart handle and stuff. And then it would end up in my pocket. So I ended up with maybe 6 or 7 of them over for a while. And they've been used over and over. What I do is I keep them in a Ziploc baggie, and every time I leave the house, I squirt some fresh alcohol into that baggie. And so I have these alcohol wipes wherever I go.
Oh, Carolyn, that's amazing reuse there. Megan, what do you make of that? As Carolyn enters the store, you see those wipes, you use them, and Carolyn's found a way to keep reusing them.
I think that the first thing that comes to mind is to make sure that during the pandemic and in navigating germs, I'm not an expert in that, right? And I think that looking at the local, whether it's the county health department or the state, or I'm sure there's information on CDC, but I would make sure that that is actually sanitary in terms of, you know, not keeping those the bacteria around.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I would say is we need to really be cautious and following all of the recommendations to slow the spread of the coronavirus. But then being innovative is really important. And I do think it's what so many, you know, local businesses, communities are doing to think about how can we reuse items.
The wipes, though, are in a container that can go into recycling. Is that right? Usually these wipes are in those big plastic containers.
Containers, yeah, I think follow whatever the instructions are within the on the piece of plastic. I think it's important to note that we can't recycle, you know, latex gloves, masks, PPE, wipes, and it's really important to dispose of those things in the trash.
And how do you dispose of latex items properly?
Yeah, I mean, you put them in the trash, right? Okay. And make sure that they don't go into the recycling bin, make sure that we don't litter them. But there are real people that sort through the material in recycling facilities, real people like the, you know, previous caller whose aunt and uncle pick up, you know, litter, right? So by putting that material in the trash, it at least, you know, at best, it's getting to the landfill, right?
Yeah.
But the question about recycling, you know, yes, I think take a look at the instructions on that particular container. And, you know, I think it's the best thing that we can do right now with that material.
Why can't latex gloves or masks be recycled in any way?
So the way that the product is made with the polymers, it's not able to break down in a way that can be reused.
There's been also some talk of being able to turn PPE waste into liquid fuel. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is both fascinating and it's very frustrating to me, right? Because simply calling, I think there's been this trend recently to call burning plastics recycling, but it really isn't recycling or really an environmentally sound kind of way of producing energy. So there is this process being marketed as chemical or advanced recycling, which claims to break down plastic into its component molecules that could then be made into new plastic or turned into fuel. But there is a new report by it's called the Global Alliance for Incinerator Alternatives. And it revealed that the process touted as advanced recycling is actually turning plastic into fuel to be burned. And then these facilities really most often overburden low-income communities and have serious climate and health implications.
So there is an effect there. Megan Severson is Wisconsin's director of the citizen-based nationwide environmental advocacy project called Environment America. Do you see yourself recycling more or less since the pandemic? How much plastic or glass do you think you use in a week? Have you tried cutting down? How did you do? 800-642-1234. We'll be back for more with Megan Severson after a news update here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a heads up on our programming plans. Join us tonight at 8 for live NPR coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Milwaukee. We bring you up to speed with a recap, and it's a convention wrap-up tonight starting at 8. That's here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we're talking about the spike in plastic pollution amid the pandemic. Scientific American reports that recycling systems around the world are starting to break down because of local budget cuts due to the economic fallout. All that extra plastic is ending up in landfills, and just a small amount of plastic gets recycled, 10% on average. Are you an environmentalist? What effects are you seeing plastic pollution have in your community and the world as a whole? There's room for you to talk. 800-642-1234. Megan Severson heads up Wisconsin Environment. It's an advocacy project of Environment America, and she's our guide to plastics. Let's take another call now. Mo is joining us from Oconto this morning. Hi, Mo.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Megan. I got a couple of comments and then just a question. I use those disposable face masks, but how I use them, I decorate them a little bit so I know which one I wore most recently. But I'll wear one and I'll throw it down in the car somewhere, and next day I'll wear a different one. And if you got three or four, you're pretty much good to go, I would think, unless you chew a hole in them. Because that virus dies after a few days, and especially in a hot car.
And Mo, what is your question?
My question is that there's been some good programs on, like, Greenpeace and Rolling Stone on recycling plastic, but is it really, you put your plastic in the recycling bin, does it really get recycled?
Great question.
That is a great question, and thank you, Mo, for reaching out. Recycling as a concept is wonderful, and it does work well for materials like glass and aluminum that retain their value over time. You know, a glass bottle can easily be reused or remolded into another glass bottle within days. But plastic doesn't retain its value in the same way, and therefore it can't kind of participate in that kind of infinite reuse, kind of circular economy. So most plastic items, bags, foam containers, straws, lids, these sort of single-use items, they are simply like the beginning and end of the line, because after market, they don't really have anywhere to go. So, you know, the best case is a plastic bottle can be converted into a lower value product, maybe a carpet. My husband and I just purchased some carpet for a room, and the pad is made up of old sneakers.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
I've noticed that too in recent months.
Yeah, the at the store, they asked if I wanted to have the, you know, sneaker patch. Sure, that's fine. You know, happy to do that. But, you know, it's, I think when we're talking then about the next bottles that are being made from virgin plastic. And the carpet and the pad, of course, will eventually become trash after its value is exhausted. And the best case is that it'll end up in the landfill. Worst case, right, is animals, cranes, sea turtles, right, any hundreds of marine creatures that have ingested or died from plastic pollution. So to the question, you know, with the materials we have right now, we should do our best to recycle them, to follow the, you know, the steps to kind of move forward. But ultimately, we do need to kind of rethink our system. And there are a lot of great ways for how we can both use less and move towards systems that reuse and have more ways of kind of either biodegrading or, you know, yeah, like I said, reusing the products.
Last night, you talked with the Racine Zero Waste Initiative about how they're doing and what they're seeing as far as waste amid the pandemic. What did you learn?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking about that. You know, there's just some really great efforts happening in communities around Wisconsin, and Zero Waste Racine, which is part of Green and Greater Racine. It's a community-wide effort of people within the city government, county, manufacturers, businesses, nonprofit groups, just local residents, people working together to reduce and eliminate the waste stream to the area landfills. And for a couple of years now, they've been in the process of developing projects and procedures to move their community and help be an example community for how to move towards zero waste.
And what does zero waste mean?
Yeah. I've like learned a lot about this recently too. You know, I think it sounds like it would be impossible, right? We think of how would you not produce some waste, but basically, a zero waste economy is one in which less is consumed, all products are built to last, and there's easy reuse and repair. So materials are reused, they're recycled, they're composted in a continuous cycle. This is also known as circular or a closed loop economy. The benefits of communities really moving towards this are not just environmental, but they help protect public health. They conserve natural resources. They address economic issues. You know, recycling facilities right now are struggling because the Chinese market is not there for purchasing so many of our recyclables as it has been in the past. So I just think what folks in Racine are doing is just a really great example of so many people coming together around the country to think about how can we be smarter with our waste? How can we help residents to, you know, not have to deal with so much plastic packaging and garbage in our waterways? So that's really great that communities are doing this. Ultimately, I think to get there, our state and federal governments do need to get more on board to enact policies that offer incentives and to put bans on the worst offenders like styrofoam or polystyrene takeout containers.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Megan Severson, State Director of Wisconsin Environment. We're looking at the plastic pollution problem and steps to solve it in our communities. Are you trying to reduce plastic use? What are you substituting for these products? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Let's bring in Daryl now in Couderay. Hi, Daryl.
Good morning, and hello, Megan. Thanks for the program. I have a question and a comment. My question is, was glass ever considered a single-use glass? My comment, it seems we the people were much better off when milk, water, and soda drinks were all in glass that could be reused or melted into other products. where plastics only continue to create a real public nuisance. Maybe our fix is a no-brainer.
Daryl, thank you. And Megan, let's go deeper on glass and what it offers.
Thanks, Daryl. Yeah, I think it's a really great point around how we've gotten to kind of the stage we're at with plastic. I think that we need to be looking at a variety of ways in which we can.
I think we just lost Megan. Megan, can you hear us?
Be, you know, easily reused or remolded. I know of a brewery in Madison that decided they're going to reuse their kind of a cleaning system so they can have a bottle return program. Our organization and our network of groups, you know, really one of the first initiatives back in the early 80s was around helping to get bottle bills started in other states like Massachusetts and Michigan, I think Oregon. We don't have that in Wisconsin. And so I think we could do more to incentivize return programs, incentivize the use of glass. But yeah, ways that we can have materials that are just not going to one and done, you know, use it for 5 minutes and then it just sticks around on the planet for hundreds of years. So yeah, I agree.
Let's bring in Rochelle now in Montello. Hi, Rochelle.
Yes, hi. I had an idea. I've been using mesh bags to bag my produce at a grocery store instead of their rolls of plastic bags. And the mesh bags, I just found a variety pack. They're called lingerie bags.
Oh, sure.
They have zippers. And then if they get dirty, I can throw them in the washing machine or I can just rinse them in my sink. But I have a dozen of them that I use for grocery stores.
Oh, wow. That is such a great idea. Megan, what do you think there, those mesh laundry bags?
Well, that's great. And Rochelle, I'm really glad that you brought up this point because I know it's been a question people have had recently about whether they can bring a reusable bag to grocery stores or other stores. And it is... I think there may still be stores, right, that say you can't have a reusable bag, but as long as you are keeping the bag in your cart or with you and the staff aren't filling it, if you put the items in the bag yourself, that is okay. And I think we're seeing now there's, more places, Target, Walmart, are letting people know that it's okay to use a reusable bag.
Megan Severson is State Director of Wisconsin Environment. It's a citizen-based environmental advocacy project that's an affiliate of Environment America. Still time to talk about how to curb plastic use, how you approach plastic pollution amid the pandemic when vital PPE is necessary to save lives. Join in at any point, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Megan Severson here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Megan Severson, the State Director of Wisconsin Environment. It's an advocacy organization working on clean air, water, and energy issues. We're looking for solutions to the plastics crisis that's been intensified during the pandemic with a dramatic rise in single-use masks and gloves. PPE is finding its way into our rivers and oceans, harming fish, animals, wildlife habitats. Megan, I want to ask you about the World Wildlife Fund. They started a program this summer asking companies in the world to be more transparent about their plastic use, and they're asking companies to disclose how much plastic they're making and putting in the market, where it goes geographically, and then their best guess as to what happens to it. What do you think this will do?
I think that programs like that are really important. And I think that, you know, more efforts do need to happen to shift the responsibility of tracking and even collection, disposable and sustainable design, we need to shift that responsibility onto the producers of our plastic products. In conversations like yesterday with folks in Racine, for example, you know, just talking about how local businesses are struggling to figure out not only how to survive right now, restaurants, right, but can they would if they would like to shift to a biodegradable takeout container, but if that costs too much, it's not possible. And so I think it really is on the producers of the plastic products that we as a, you know, as communities, as states, that, you know, there's a Break Free from Plastics Act being considered in Congress right now that would shift the responsibility more to the producers of plastics. And I just think that's a huge place where we will be able to see some systemic changes in our plastics use.
Let's bring in Daryl now in Menominee Falls. Hi, Daryl.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to, I don't have a question. I just wanted to make a comment about waste and in particular that I think there's a lot of talk about responsibility in this conversation. And I think we need to back up and look at our basic responsibility of just taking our trash and throwing it in the proper disposable way, not throwing it out the window of our cars, not throwing it in the backyard of the place we live in. If people would be more responsible, I think it would help tremendously to reduce the amount of waste. It's sad and pathetic that this is the anniversary of 50 years of Earth Day, and we don't even do the basic thing of taking care of our own waste and throwing it away properly.
Yeah, ensuring that trash doesn't become litter on the ground or in our water. Megan, insights there?
Yeah, I absolutely agree, Daryl. I think that that is the first place to start and what, you know, where we can look out for our communities. You know, the thing you say about throwing away, you know, recycling facilities across Wisconsin are struggling with not being able to have a market for the plastics that are coming in. So I think that, you know, the first step, yes, let's make sure we are putting the waste, the recyclables in the proper place, helping each other to understand those steps. The Zero Waste Racine group, for example, to reference them again, doing work to make sure people know how to recycle properly. But beyond that, we do have this bigger societal kind of conversation that communities like Racine, that states are having, that folks in Congress are having about how do we deal with that stuff? Because there is no away and our landfills are overfilling, recycling centers are overburdened. So we do have this bigger long-term conversation about what to do with these materials, especially the single-use plastics.
Megan, it can seem really overwhelming for the individual person in even a family unit. How should we tackle this, even on a five-year scale? What should plastic use look in our life 5 years from now?
That's a great question. And, if we have
Megan,
I think that it would. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Yeah, you know, I think.
And I think we're having.
Absolutely can feel overwhelming.
We're having some trouble hearing you, Megan. Yeah, you're fading in and out, but now we can hear you. We'll try this one more time before we have to switch. Go ahead.
All right. Sure. It can feel overwhelming. I think the important thing is for people to do what they can. They can reduce waste. And then to talk to their, you know, mayor or their community members about what their community is doing. And to, you know, take heart in the fact that there are so many of us that really do, you know, we really, I think, can make this shift. And we do need to expect that our decision makers are going to, you know, take this seriously and put the, you know, put the accountability on the plastics producers, the fossil fuel industry that is really ramping up the production of plastics. So that's the biggest thing to look out for. You know, I don't think we should feel overwhelmed. I think we should take heart that we can shift our communities, just like people in Racine, students at UW look like, you know, grocery stores and small businesses that are taking steps to reduce their waste. There are a lot of great examples in Wisconsin, and I think we can.
And I think we're having some trouble hearing you, Megan. I think, yeah, and Megan, we're going to have to switch here to phones because you're going in and out here on our Meet connection. Talking with Megan Severson, works with Wisconsin Environment. It's an advocacy project of Environment America. We're talking about the plastic pollution problem, especially amidst PPE products and the masks and gloves. You can join in with your insights here at 800-642-1234. Where should we go from here? What changes have you made in your family about how you look at your trash, dispose of your trash, reuse, recycle in any way? And what ideas do you have for trash amid the pandemic? 800-642-1234. And we have Megan Severson here with us. Megan, we have just a few minutes left, but I want to get to the federal approach here. President Trump recently signed the Great American Outdoors Act. What is happening at the federal level?
Yeah, this is a great step, and it's, you know, it's no small accomplishment. This law will permanently fund the Land and Water Conservation Fund at $900 million annually. It's also going to provide $9.5 billion over the next 5 years to fix maintenance problems for America's public lands. So this is money that was always intended for conservation projects, but for decades it's been diverted to other purposes. So for Wisconsin, this is great. It supports not just projects like the Ice Age Trail, the Apostle Islands, but it also over the past decades has supported access to nature, from bike trails along Lake Michigan to ball fields, neighborhood parks. It's a really great example of, you know, just bipartisan work within Congress and the fact that this, you know, conservation should not be, a partisan issue.
There have been some issues at the local municipal level as budgets get really strained heading into 2021. Are you concerned that recycling programs will be stalled or halted in some way with reduced funding?
I think we should have, you know, limited expectations for what's possible, right, in terms of the next year, the state level in terms of funding, right? But right now is a really critical time to think about what we want our relationship to be with plastics, and long term to push our communities and states to really be innovative and to move away from plastics. There are great examples in municipalities around the state that have, you know, are pushing for changes, but ultimately we do need Wisconsin leaders to take the issue of plastic waste seriously and ultimately, you know, ban the worst things like polystyrene takeout containers and plastic bags.
Megan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Megan Severson is State Director of Wisconsin Environment. We have a link to their work, by the way. It's at wpr.org/mornings. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.